Okay, tonight our topic is the fifth precept, do not become intoxicated. This is the fifth precept in Buddhism and has raised some controversy over the time, which we will look at into later. Here is how it is presented on our website. Do not become intoxicated. Polish clarity, dispel delusion. In the realm of the intrinsically pure Dharma, not harboring delusions is the precept of not becoming intoxicated. We are naturally pure. There is nothing to be deluded about. This is enlightenment itself. Understand this truly, and no intoxicants can be taken in. Now, I am quite analytical by nature, so please allow me to do a phrase-by-phrase analysis to get us started. Now, the meaning of these words have been crafted by the translators. The meanings here are as close to the intended meanings as our Soto Zen scholars have been able to approach. Other meanings are, of course, possible, but within the teachings of our lineage, these are the generally agreed upon meanings. Do not become intoxicated. That's the opening to this precept. The operative word here is intoxicated. In an article by Roshi Nancy Mujo Baker, she writes, "Typically, the first things that come to mind when we encounter the fifth precept are drugs and alcohol, particularly alcohol, which in excess can make us drunk, inebriated, or intoxicated. There are many words for it. Originally, this precept was about refraining from buying or selling intoxicants, when selling was considered even worse than imbibing. And it's no wonder, since the earliest meanings of the transitive verb to intoxicate in English is to smear with poison, which is what I'll be doing to others were I to sell or give them intoxicants," she writes. "On the other hand, we do say that the fragrance of certain roses is intoxicating. But then what is intoxication really? Getting high? Getting drunk? What exactly does that mean?" So I found Robert Aiken in his book, The Mind of Clover, clarifies it in this way. "There are many ways to cloud the mind, and this precept encompasses them all. Following it literally would mean not drinking alcohol or smoking grass at all." Remember, he wrote this in the 70s. He goes on to say he finds even half a glass of beer adversely affects his Zazen practice. I take from these and other descriptions the understanding it means to cloud, unfocus, befuddle, or distract the mind into some dream state or other reality, just the opposite of what we work so hard to do in our practice. Next, let's look at polished clarity. Now, to polish is to remove the minute scratches and imperfections in a transparent material so light can go get all the way through it without refraction, reflection, blockage, or other distortion. The result is that clarity is increased. The goal is to have a completely clear, non-distorted understanding of the view on the other side of the lens or viewport. That's polished clarity. To dispel delusion. To dispel is to dilute, minimize, or make undetectable something like smoke or vapors, so as to get rid of something. Here, it's to get rid of delusion. Note the use of delusion in the not illusion. Not illusion. As stated on Quora's website, illusions and delusions are both distortions of reality. In the former case, we perceive the world as other than it is because the evidence itself is deceptive. In the latter case, you believe the world is other than it is, despite the opportunity to test the evidence you're presented with. It is worth emphasizing here that we can't delude someone else, only deceive them. So delusions are what we believe, what we do to ourselves, rather than what we know to be the reality of the world. The next phrase that I'm going to consider is in the realm of the intrinsically pure Dharma. This means the space or area, the realm, of the clear, unaltered, without flaw Dharma. It's intrinsically pure. That's almost, from what I've been able to tell, a redundant phrase. Intrinsically means pure. I take this to mean the real world and universe as it is. Not harboring delusions. That is to say, not hanging on to what isn't true. A teacher told me years ago, don't believe everything you think. And boy, that really helped. In the precept of not becoming intoxicated. I'm sorry, is the precept of not becoming intoxicated. So what is intoxicated? Having taken in toxic substances is one definition. Another is to become altered in mind and body so that inhibitions are suppressed, impulses run free, and decision-making is made difficult or even bypassed. Mind-altering. So series of definitions, that would encompass almost everything we could possibly do to make our mind different than it naturally is. Then, we are naturally pure. Yes, we are by nature born without flaw. I note that this is just the opposite of the belief that we are born in sin and error. There is nothing to be deluded about. Yes, there's no need to change our basic nature. It's good just the way it is. This is enlightenment itself. Yes, that's correct. Understand this truly, and no intoxicants can be taken in. That's because none are needed or desired. So, Domio, if you could break us out for 10 minutes to discuss the concept of intoxicated, that would be good. Thank you.
All right. Just accept your invitations. And this is like 8, it's about 8:11. So we're already 21. And we'll end them.
Thank you.
Precept, it says that we are naturally pure. There's nothing to be deluded about. Understand this truly, and no intoxicants can be taken in. So, is that like knowing yourself? You know? I don't know.
Well, that's the absolute aspect. There is no delusion, nothing to be deluded about, which is kind of a different level than we've been talking about so far.
Mm. And we've been really talking more about the everyday world when we talk about intoxicants and so forth. You know, I was just reading something that was written by Shohaku Okamura as an introduction, because we're doing the Wholehearted Way in the book group. And then I quickly looked at this precept again, and the precept says to dispel delusion. But Okamura was saying, all you have to do is you don't have to get rid of it. You just have to know that it's a delusion. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Domio. Or Bob, or anyone.
Well, that makes me think also of what, two things. One, we also chant, delusions are endless, I vow to end them.
Yes.
But also what Tom was saying, and it's not Kyokuko, it's Kyogen. Kyogen. I think that was the teacher he's referring to, with when he would say, yes, that's it, that's it. You just came back in the moment. That's it, that's it. That's all you have to do. So to me, that yes, yes, back in that moment, for that nanosecond, that's the end of the delusion. You just come back in that.
And maybe moment. That dispels the delusion.
Yeah, yeah. I read the little sentence or two that he was writing with. It gave me a lot of peace because it was pretty much telling me you don't have to fight this. And that's one of my biggest problems is I want to fight everything. I want to struggle with it and eradicate it.
Maybe that's a delusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, speak to that absolute aspect, you know, that you brought up, Joan, that, I mean, I guess that's referring to that, you know, the aspect of reality where, I don't know, it's all included, you know, our delusions and our struggles to become free of the delusion, you know, our shortcomings, the sadness that our shortcomings cause us, like, I don't know, it's not a matter in that case of saying, oh, delusions, who cares? It's a matter of saying, you know, I don't know, according to Buddhism anyway, we tend toward wisdom, that we tend, like, there's just like this progression toward wisdom and seeing through delusion. But I mean, the path is not necessarily straightforward. Like, sometimes we sink into delusion and the path may go many lifetimes, right? So somebody may actually be headed into delusion, but the whole idea is that, I don't know, that when I say, like, the darkness is just when a light comes on, the darkness is instantly dispelled. So it's like when insight happens, that delusion is gone, and it's never, I don't know, maybe it's never exactly the same again. Once we see through it just a little, maybe then it becomes more like an illusion, you know? Like, you really thought, to go back to our rock, right? You really thought that was a bush. But then somebody pointed out to you, no, look, that's just camo on the rock. And you're like, oh. But then you go back to thinking it's a bush, but never quite. I mean, it looks to you like a bush, but you're never quite as intoxicated by your delusion again.
What you just said reminds me of, there are certain drawings where, for example, some people only see an old woman when they see it.
Yeah.
Other people only see this beautiful woman, but some people see both. Mm. But the ones who only see the one, they can't believe that you see the other. And then all of a sudden, sometimes they can. It's like, oh. And so in that analogy, I can see how, for myself, I've lived a spiral of, oh, and then crash and burn, oh, crash and burn. And then I lived with some delusions that kind of became synonymous with my identity. Then I came out of them and realized, wow, was I deluded with that? And now I'm sure I'm living brand new delusions. Until I go down the road and wake up out of them. So it is, at least for me, is a spiral process, and with probably, yeah, emphasis on both words, spiral and process.
Oh, we're at 9:00. Any closing words, Bob?
I just thank you, everybody, for such a lively conversation. And yeah, appreciate all the great comments. And have a great evening.
Thank you, Bob.
Good night.
Thank you, Bob.